Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we continue our study that is self-explanatory and is titled, What Now? Sodomite Marriage Response. This is part 2 of 3. The world celebrates. There was San Francisco City Hall. Can't say I'm real surprised by that. You know what I mean? I mean, I kind of expected that place to just blow up. This was in front of the courthouse. Our Constitution is our shield against Bible-based discrimination. See that? Sodom hates God and the Bible. And they will take that Bible and pervert it just like their sex life. And then they'll create denominations like the Metropolitan Churches of America. And then they'll infiltrate these apostate churches like the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Methodist Churches, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. And all those apostate denominations are filled with sodomites. And they don't teach the Bible.
Is that Washington or Columbus?
That's in Washington, yeah. Well, that's what's going next. This is in Seattle, and this is just one picture in Seattle. It was lit up like a flamer, you know. New York, they poured into the streets in New York. Had to call out extra police and everything to handle it. Not because of violence, just because of the numbers. Minneapolis was lit up all over the place. You had old fogies, and you had Niagara Falls, you have little children. And if you see these pictures, the children are everywhere. Disney World.
Disney World.
So what's next? Pedophilia and hate crime laws is next. I'll be arrested for standing on the street for holding that sign. I hope you will send me some licorice. Half joking. I've been in situations where good Christians should have supported me and they walk away. You need to right now decide if you're going to support people who get arrested for telling the truth. Jenny called the Worthington police and informed them that there were death threats on me. I thought you did call him. You told him you were going to call, so you better call.
Yeah, they were threatening to kill Greg.
Okay, well, didn't sign up.
Well, no, I jumped ahead of myself, actually. The sign, we had people yelling death threats and everything, and one car came up off of the road like they were going to run over me.
Wow.
And I'm not trying to play Mr. Brave. I'm not saying I wouldn't get out of the way of a car coming after me, but at that point, if they wanted to, I'm done, because I didn't see it soon enough. So I just stood there, and as I'm on the sidewalk, and as they swerve off to not hit me with middle fingers up swearing at me, I lovingly said, "You'll burn in hell." You see, when the Bible says speak the truth in love, it's not about how you say it. It's not even the words you say. You should say the truth. Sounding like a sissy doesn't help. That's not love.
Yeah.
No, see, you speak the truth in love, meaning if I didn't care about those people, I wouldn't be out there telling them they're going to go to hell. I got much more interesting, fun things to do with my time. The week before, I was in North Carolina. We got up to the top of Mount Mitchell, highest peak east of the Mississippi, man. We had a great time up there. There's all kinds of places I could be hanging out instead of high and Morse and warning these people that they're walking off the cliff into hell. You see, all you people out there who say I don't love them because I'm telling them the truth, you don't love them. You hate them so much, you're happy to see them go to hell without even trying to stop them. I'm just telling you, I'm throwing my body in front of them. Like I would if I saw you walking toward a cliff, I'd throw my body in front of you and say, no, don't. That's love. Amen. Fools will say, no, you're just fear-mongering. And that's exactly what we said 20 years ago about gay marriage. And that was the response we got. You're just fear-mongering. You just want people to hate the homosexuals. I had homosexuals tell me, we don't want marriage. We just want to be left alone. Liar. And you're not done yet. I know you're not done yet. There's a lot of suckers who think you're done yet right now, but you're not done yet. And I know they're not done yet. So now what? Well, we're faced with the coming persecution if the Lord tarries the rapture of the church. That's it. Get that, emblazon that on your mind right now. That's what we're facing. Coming persecution. Franklin Graham, I don't support everything about Franklin Graham, but he's right on this. We're going to play just a short bit of an interview.
Hello, I'm Todd Starnes. Same-sex marriage is now legal in all 50 states. That ruling handed down by the Supreme Court in a 5-4 decision. One of the most outspoken opponents of gay marriage is Franklin Graham. And he joins us live now from North Carolina. Franklin, just a few moments ago on your Facebook page, you posted just a brilliant message. And you write this, with all due respect to the court, it did not define marriage and therefore is not entitled to redefine it.
Amen.
Franklin, I want to get your reaction to the ruling today.
Well, Todd, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed because our government is recognizing sin. This court is endorsing sin.
Amen.
And that's what homosexuality is. It's a sin against God, just like any other sin. But for the court to endorse sin, I'm saddened for our country. And so we'll have to go by with what the court says. But as far as for me, I will never recognize it in my heart. Because God gave marriage between a man and a woman, and that's what marriage is. And I don't think the court, since it never defined marriage, it doesn't have the right to redefine it. God gave us marriage, and that's just it. That's period. And God does not change his mind.
You know, President Obama just a few moments ago tweeted these words, hashtag love wins. Who, in your estimation, is the loser today?
Well, I think our country is the loser because marriage is the institution that God has given. And for us now to give this to same-sex couples, and who's to say that a few years from now that a man cannot marry his daughter or two men can marry one woman? I mean, where do you draw the line? And so this is new ground that our country is beginning to enter on. And I'm just concerned about where we head. And then also, is there going to be discrimination against churches, against organizations like what I represent, who are going to stand by the biblical definition of marriage? Or will we be discriminated against by the government?
And Franklin, that does seem to be a valid concern that people have. And we've seen the messages that you posted on Facebook, and we've seen religious leaders from many denominations say, hey, look, this is going to be open season on Christian business owners, on pastors and churches that may not perform same-sex weddings or ceremonies. What are your concerns for those Christians, and what is your word of warning to them?
Well, you better be ready and you better be prepared because it's coming. I think there will be persecution of Christians for our stand. Because see, I believe the Bible, and God loves us, no question about it. So when the president says that love wins, yes, God loves us, but sin is sin. And God has standards, and when we violate those standards, any type of sexual relationship outside of a marriage relationship between a man and a woman is a sin against God. But God will forgive sin, but the only way that he'll forgive it is if we repent and confess our sins, and by faith put our faith and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, who took our sins to the cross. He died and shed his blood on the cross for our sins, all of our sins. So if we're willing to confess and repent and believe on the name of Jesus Christ, God will forgive our sins. But our nation has a spiritual problem, and we need God's forgiveness. We need to repent of our sins and turn from our sins, because I do believe that God's judgment will come on this nation when we read in the Scripture.
I had to cut it off. It goes on, but that you won't hear very many so-called religious leaders lay it out that clear as he did. And amen. So what is coming? Well, all we have to do is look at Canada. And that's the Canadian pride flag there. They legalized sodomite marriage and also said no rights would be lost. That's what they told everybody. 2013. And this is an article that said, look what gay marriage did to the freedom of speech in Canada. Canada federally mandated gay marriage about 10 years ago, 2005. Since then, their freedoms have eroded. Quote, over and over we are told permitting same-sex couples access to the designation of marriage will not deprive anyone of rights. That is a lie. That's a Canadian warning to you. And it slowly creeps up. The word is incremental. Incrementalism. Slowly creeps up. And before you know it, you can't speak about the traditional family of a man, woman, and children without authorities considering it hate speech. In fact, you couldn't even have this kind of debate in Canada because everyone would start shouting, OMG, you're so homophobic and bigoted. Sound familiar? But it doesn't end there. Because of legal restrictions on speech, if you say or write anything considered homophobic, which this sermon would fall under that category, including by definition anything questioning same-sex marriage, like our message we aired on the radio, the satanic nature of same-sex marriage, you could face discipline, termination of employment, or persecution, or prosecution, but also persecution by the government. And folks, that's why I quit secular employment. They can't hang that over my head now.
What kind of discipline?
Just like they would for anything. You could be sent off for a two-week unpaid leave, be forced to go to what they call a diversity training, and then threatened with your job, and then if you keep it up, they'll take your job. They'll fire you. And then, of course, imprisonment and everything by the government. The article goes on to, well, let me see. First, I want to say this. Nearly every reprobate American supporting gay marriage defends their actions by pointing to Canada and saying, see, everything's fine in Canada. That's what they have done with Obamacare, too. And like you can't look at Canada and say, oh, well, let's see what's going on up there. And now we see what's going on up there. They have no idea what is going on in Canada. And history repeats. This is the 2013 warning, and I'm about to read, is the same being given to Americans today. This is 2013 in Canada, so it was 8 years after they passed gay marriage. The Canadian Supreme Court ruling against Christian Witness on Wednesday, this 2013 situation, Canada's Supreme Court upheld a ban on hate speech. Only took them 8 years before they have a national hate speech law. That would put us at 2023. And it probably won't take that long. This is the Canadian Supreme Court banning you saying anything bad about the queers, quote, is a reasonable limit on freedom of religion and is demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society. End quote. Folks, I'm having conversations with this one lady. She's a Jew who is I'm in a group with against anti-Semitism. Her idea to protect Jews is to ban proselytizing in Israel. And here in America, people just are ready to surrender rights so that they can be protected from having their feelings hurt. And that's what's going on all over the country. This was in Canada. William Watcott, a former homosexual, and he became a Christian, and they call him a Christian activist. He published and distributed flyers in 2001 and 2002. His actions took place before they even passed the gay marriage law. And they contained various harsh statements about homosexuals and pedophiles, which are they're like that. So a complaint was filed in with Saskatchewan Human Rights Commission. There's that. That sounds good, don't it? Human rights. alleging Watcott was promoting hatred against individuals based on their sexual orientation. The Human Rights Tribunal, what a name, held the publications contravened a section of the Saskatchewan Human Rights Code on the basis that Watcott's views exposed persons to hatred and ridicule on the basis of their sexual orientation. You're not allowed to hurt somebody's feelings. And of course, he argued he's entitled to make statements based on his constitutional protected right to freedom of expression. But just like they've done with the 14th Amendment here in America, the Supreme Court of Canada ruled that the sections of the Human Rights Code that prohibited free speech, hatred against persons based on a prohibited ground of discrimination, was constitutional. They didn't explain how or why, it just is. And Watcott's speech was not protected on the basis of freedom of expression or freedom of religion. No logical or legal basis, because they're all a bunch of reprobate liars.
Amen.
And that's what's on our Supreme Court. And they'll, you say, well, there's no way with the Constitution. They wipe their rear ends with the Constitution on a daily basis. The Constitution is toilet paper to our Supreme Court. Just got to get used to it. They will make it say whatever they want it to say. And it's coming.
Sort of like the Bible, huh?
Speaking of toilet paper, liberals just make crap up. And I would not feel one bit bad using the real word for that, but some of you don't want to profane poop, so we'll say crap. But I'm only half joking. I mean, I really believe that this NICE Act, we were talking about this the other day, this NICE Act is an act. It's not biblical. I mean, this idea that everybody's supposed to be walking around always nice and everything. Folks, your Savior wasn't like that. And you've never read Matthew 13 with an open mind if you think Jesus was patty cake. And the apostles, no one likes to accept it, what he says. Paul talked about rude speech. That's your apostle that you're supposed to follow. And what am I saying? Always be rude, nasty? No, I'm not saying that. But there's a time where you do get nasty. And when they're coming after your children and you don't get nasty, you're pathetic. They're coming after the children. We must face the reality of the wickedness of this nation and its leaders. So the question is, what now? Sin is still sin. We'll continue to preach the truth about Sodom, fornication, and all other sexual sin. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Those are words for the LGBTQ. That's it. Yep. Fornicators, adulterers, because a lot of these homos are married. And they're with a woman, then they go out and they're with a man, then they come back. Effeminate, that's the cross-dressers and Bruce Jenner. Abusers of themselves with mankind. If you don't know what that means, you've not studied homosexual sex acts. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. We'll continue to preach that. Verse 11 says, "And such were some of you." If a homosexual comes in here, if an adulterer, a liar, anybody comes in here with a repentant attitude, they're welcome. But if they come in here and they have, and they will not change their lifestyle, and then especially if they demonstrate it openly, gone. And folks, independent Baptists have filled people with stupidity about the church. That's why you go to the typical independent Baptist church, the preacher has a romper room on Sundays. He doesn't teach the Bible. Because they think that you bring people to church to get saved.
Yeah.
Never in the Bible did that happen.
Amen.
The church met as a body of believers. They were taught the Scripture, not behavior cultism.
Amen.
And they weren't browbeat about church attendance and tithing and all that they hear every week.
Yes.
You're taught the Word of God so that you go out then and preach the gospel to the lost, and when they get saved, you bring them in.
Amen.
Now, if a lost person comes in, they're welcome, but that's not the method or mode of the local church to go out and bring them in to get saved.
Amen.
And that's why we're talking about what we're talking about here. And after all that happened, I'll guarantee you, most fundamentalist churches today only mentioned this in passing and then went right back into the mode of church attendance, tithing, and be nice to your neighbor all the time and smile. It's a behavior cult.
Yeah.
Such were some of you, and that's why we're not preaching the gospel and nothing else. We do present the gospel because that's what the Bible's about. But we teach the Bible, you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We're going to continue to stand for biblical marriage. If required to, now pay attention to this, you guys need to know this. If required to recognize gay marriage, this preacher will never do another state-sanctioned ceremony again.
Amen.
You'll get married. You can have a service, we'll do whatever we normally do, but I will not sign a marriage license and I will not give a state-recognized marriage again. If they add gay marriage to the list, which evidently they're going to, so I'm pretty much telling you, the days are numbered that I'll do state-sanctioned weddings. I will have nothing at all to do with the state of Sodom.
Amen.
And thankfully, I can tell you that I'm not alone in this. There's a lot of... And High Street's already doing it. Thank God for the fundamental believers we do have in this area.
Amen.
Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, well, you know, it is the government. We should do whatever they say.
Yep.
Mr. Kasich. We ought to obey God rather than men. Amen?
Amen.
And we will suffer if need be. We're going to stand, we'll let God sort out the details and trust Him to work it out, because we're told in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That means preaching the gospel. That means preaching the truth about sin, all of it, including the Sodom sin. All of you should be doing it. All of you should be doing it.
Amen.
Your family, your friends, if you're with a co-worker, don't do it on the clock unless you're working as you're talking, because you don't want to get fired. But anytime you're asked, just speak the truth. That's what you do. And you'll suffer for it. We're going to continue the work that we're doing. We'll continue doing right, serving the Lord, and fulfilling our calling, come what may. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Folks, that's a promise. Deceiving and being deceived, which is what's going on. But, how do you respond? We're going to go buy land up in the hills and build a bunker. And no, that's not what you do. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And with that attitude, we're going to close with a look at Romans 1, 16 to 32. Open your Bibles if you would. And as you're turning to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 32, and I'm not going to take long. We're not going to do an in-depth study. We're just going to read it and see what it says. But I want you to understand something. We're not going to wait for the bomb to go off. I see the bomb. And so stay tuned as we pray and look about property situations for Jenny and I, and if we could have a place. And it may be a few minutes out of the town. And if it is, you know, we come here on Sundays for basically a half-day meeting, and we'll continue to do that. But what we'll probably do is start having dinner again more often, if not every week. So hopefully it'll be worth the drive another 20 minutes for you if you end up driving a little more. And if not, I'm sorry, but it's not important to you. If you won't drive another 20 minutes, it's just not important to you. That's just... You know, and unless, you know, like, you know, some people drive an hour to get here in the first place. That might be a little more difficult. But anyway, Romans 1 begins verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If you're not preaching it, you are ashamed. For it is the power of God unto salvation. See that? It's not about the man. It's not D.L. Moody. We don't need another man. We need the gospel preached. Amen. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, read that. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And we're going to really have to demonstrate that as the days come. Verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Watch this. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness? Did you see that? You're talking people who will profess to believe the gospel and adopt gay marriage. It's happening all over the place. That church that Carrie Underwood goes to, I showed it in a video, her pastor, claims to believe the biblical gospel and yet now has opened their membership and they have, if you're a homosexual, you have opportunities in leadership, marriage, everything. That was weeks ago he did that. All the while professing to believe the gospel. And a lot of these guys aren't going to want to lose their 501c3, the school, Christian schools and a lot of those. They're going to profess faith in the gospel, holding the truth in unrighteousness and cower to the Sodom agenda. And any real Christian, any faithful Christian shouldn't have anything to do with them. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Verse 20, read that. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Folks, I don't care if it's the sweetest person you've ever met in your life, if they go along with the Sodom thing, they're without excuse. They're not stupid. They know what they're doing. They love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. Jesus said in John 3:19. Verse 21, read that. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Just follow your heart. You're a fool. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God. You don't know your heart. You guard your heart. You don't know your heart. You better choose your friends well. You better choose your associates well. You better choose your entertainment well. You better choose your music well. You better choose your thoughts well. You better choose your imaginations well. Amen. Or your foolish heart will be darkened. Read 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You notice that? All the people jumping on board. How many of you heard of Tony Campolo? Tony Campolo has been a youth leader in evangelicalism for about 40 years. Been one of the most influential preachers in this country. Just turned 80 years old and it came out a couple of weeks ago, endorsing gay marriage.
Wow.
The former editor of Christianity Today, Billy Graham's magazine, former editor, came out recently in endorsing gay marriage. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. They'll claim to believe the gospel. I've heard Tony Campolo say what he believes the gospel is, and it's the biblical gospel. Holding the truth in unrighteousness. We've got an audio thing on Tony Campolo. I think we called him the forerunner. No, the ambassador to Sodom. So verse 23 says, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. In other words, they created a God in their own image. Yeah. The Jesus that a lot of your relatives and friends talk about isn't the real Jesus. It's one they made up. And then the image made like unto man, and then some people like to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They're worshiping nature, universe.